The last few weeks, we went over what? The image of Christ. What we are is an image of Christ. This morning, I'm going to bring this to you, a true disciple. A true disciple. So we've been talking about an image of Christ, but you want to know something? If you try hard enough, you could probably look like Christ. You want to know why I know this? Because Jesus even talked about it. We're going to get into that this morning, that Jesus even talked about that. We're starting in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, where Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Remain faithful. A true disciple remains faithful to the teachings of Christ. Today, we live in a society that wants to distort the teachings of Christ to fit their beliefs and their lifestyle. We have a Christian society in the West that wants to distort the scriptures and distort what Jesus said to fit who they want to be. But I tell you over and over, Jesus said that if you are going to be my disciple, you must take up your cross and follow me. And remember, when he said that, there were people hanging on crosses in the background. It wasn't something cool. It wasn't a cool saying that he said. It was something that meant a lot to the people that were there. He was saying, it's not going to be easy. If you think it's going to be easy to be a Christian, you're sadly mistaken. I think it was Wednesday night I talked a little bit about this, about our founding fathers. Maybe it was last week, I don't remember. But our founding fathers, many of them gave up everything. They had lots. Our founding fathers, many of them were wealthy, and they gave up everything for the cause of a country that had the freedom to worship Jehovah God, Father God, not some other God, freely. They gave it all up. They gave up their families. They gave up their property. Why? Because they became traitors to the crown. They knew that serving God was going to cost them something. And as a true disciple of Christ, we have to understand that it may cost us something. It may not be simple and easy. Every time you go around a corner, it seems like the devil's there trying to hit you in the face. As David said, Lieutenant David over here said Wednesday night, he says, or actually Sunday morning last week, he says, "I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to punch him in the face. I'm ready to take him on." But when we do that, we have to understand that he fights back. He fights back. When we step up and we stand, he fights back. That's why it says in Ephesians that when you've done all you can do, stand. Continue. You put on the full armor of God and stand. It's not always going forward. It's not always advancing. Many times it's holding the line. It's holding the line because of the people that are around you, your sons, your daughters, your nieces, your nephews, your parents, your spouse, your friends, your neighbors. It's holding the line. The problem with our church in America is that we stopped holding the line and we started allowing things to come in and go through because it was easier. We started writing books that told us how we can have everything we want. We have TV preachers. Not all of them are bad. We have TV preachers, though, that are out there telling us, oh, you should be healthy and wealthy and everything should be great. You should have a great life today. That's not what Jesus said. I'll tell you once, I'll tell you 1,000 times. I'm okay with you being a millionaire. I'm okay with you making money. I'm okay with you driving a nice car. I'm okay with you living in a nice house. There's nothing wrong with that. But we do what God calls us to do. And you want to know something? If we go through persecution, if things happen to us because we live for Christ, we have to accept that and we continue to stand because we may not be able to advance right now. But we know that even though there's battles that we may lose, we know who wins the war. We know who wins the war because we know Hosanna is in charge. We know Hosanna is in charge. And whose report are you going to believe? When it comes to the report comes to the front from the front lines, who report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. The report of the Lord says that we win, that we conquer. You're going through a health issue, you will conquer. I'm not saying today that you're going to be healed this day, but let me tell you something, you will win. The devil can't take you out. Only God has the ability to allow your breath to stop leaving, to allow you to stop breathing. Only God decides if it's your time or not. So what do I say? Stand. Fight, keep on going forward. A true disciple is not someone who walks around all meek and mild and oh, poor pitiful me, I think I'll make it today, I hope I'll make it today. No, a true disciple is one who says, I'm going to be like David. You remember David and Goliath? And when it came time, David come in. He was a young man and he comes in and he says, why are you allowing this Philistine, this horrible, filthy mess of a man. Why are you allowing him to talk about my Lord this way, our Lord, our God, the one that we serve? He says, I'll take him on. Nobody else will take him on. I'll take him on. And he was laughed at. He said, no, I'll take him on. And the king says, put my armor on. I'll let you do it. He says, no, I can't do that. It doesn't fit. I need to move. I don't need to drag along. I need to move. I need to do what God has called me to do. He says, the Lord's taking care of me with the lion and the bear. He'll take care of me with this filthy Philistine. And what did God do? God took one stone in a sling and sunk it deep into his head. And David chopped it off. A young man. A young man. We go around, well, we don't have any power. Look at our past. Look at what I've done. I don't deserve anything from God anyway. Can I say something? When you come to Christ, listen to me. When you become a disciple of Christ and you come to Christ, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus washes us and makes us white as snow. He cleans us up. And he says that he, his blood, makes us worthy. It makes us sons and daughters of God. And the Bible says that it makes us joint heirs with Jesus. People will sing songs about how I'm not worthy, how I'm not worthy, Lord, I'm not worthy. And yes, we need to be humble before the Lord, but we also have to recognize that we have the same God on our side, the same Father that Jesus talked about when he was here on earth. We have the blood of Jesus over us. He's washed over us, and it's time for us to stand up and fight. It's time for us to stand up and be counted. It's time for us to be true disciples of Jesus. Do you realize how many people that Jesus spoke to when he was on this earth? But how many people saw him ascend into heaven? A fraction, a minute fraction. Because see, everybody was fine with serving Jesus. Everybody was fine with being a disciple of Jesus when he was handing out free Chick-fil-A. They were all good with that. When he was handing out free food, they were good with that. When he was handing out free health care to them, they were good with that. Come on now. You get what I'm saying? See, what have we done today? Jesus did that for the people. He gave them food. He healed their bodies. He made them well. And now what have we done? We've turned the government into God. Oh, the government's going to give us food, and they're going to give us health care, and they're going to give us money. And guess what? What are we doing? Now we are serving a different master. Because we are no longer disciples of Christ, because Jesus didn't say to be subservient to the government powers. He says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. And our life is in his hands. You know, there's a song we sing. I told you it's a musical morning. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. It's in you. We have to recognize that. As disciples, people are watching us, they're looking at us, and it's more than just being an image of Christ, it is walking that out. That is a disciple. It is one who listens to what Jesus has to say. He says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. A movie from years and years ago called The Matrix, from like 97. It's based around this idea, this philosophy, that we live in a computerized world, and that we're all just plugged into computers and the computers control us. But when people would find out the truth And they would see it. And so the main actor, the main character is called Neo in the movie. And he is pulled out of the Matrix. They get him out, the humans get him out and unplug him and get him out of the Matrix. And now he gets to see the world that is actually real, which is a world of destruction, a world of lies, a world of falseness. And at first it makes him sick. He can't even handle it. He's like, how can anybody handle this? And in the movie, there's another guy in the movie, and he's on the same team, and they're going to fight the computers, and they're going to free everybody. But you want to know something, what's so true about the movie? See, movies so much of the time emulate the Bible, even though they're not Christian, because that's not a Christian movie. Don't get me wrong. But they take it out of the Bible, and they turn it into their own thing. But in the movie, you say, we're going to free everybody. The problem is, everybody doesn't want to be free. People love living the lie. And one of the guys he meets with the computer-generated characters back in the Matrix. He plugs himself back in the Matrix. And he goes and meets with them, and he says, oh, I know that this steak I'm eating, that it's not real, but I love the taste of it. And he says to him, he says, I will give up Neo, because Neo's the superstar, right? I will give up Neo. I will give up the Nebuchadnezzar, the ship. I will give up everything to you if you'll just insert me back into the Matrix. And I don't want to remember any of this other junk. Do you see how real that is in our world today? That people are willing to just totally ignore the sin that is out there, totally ignore the destruction that is out there, and just live their lives just, oh, we're good. We're fine. We're going through life. You know, my three older girls, they just went to Nicaragua, and Chloe's like, it just blew her mind. She says, it's one thing to see this on television. It's one thing to hear it from a missionary, but then to walk in their shoes, go down there and see the poverty. You think we're in poverty around here? Let me tell you something. The people on the street corner down here begging money are richer than the people in Nicaragua. They have more than the people in Nicaragua. Those kids down there are raising each other because the parents abandon their children. They have children, and they don't even hug their kids. The team says, every opportunity you have to hug these kids, hug them. Let them know the love. Let them feel it because they don't know what being hugged is like. And we'll let the girls here in a couple weeks or so, we'll let them tell some of their testimony of what happened down there and what they were able to see and do. But what have we done? We say, you know what? We want to cloud all this out. We want health, wealth, and prosperity. We want everything to be good for us. We're not going to have any sickness. We're not going to do any of this. And you go, but what's going on around the world? You see, if that same gospel works here, it would work everywhere. But we're supposed to be a true disciple, not one who just makes something up, not one who lives in an alternative reality. And that's where we're at so much of the time. See, Matthew chapter 7, when we say, well, what is a true disciple? Well, Matthew chapter 7, he starts to warn us. He's just went through the Beatitudes, telling people how to live like him. That's the Beatitudes. Wouldn't you agree with me, Brother Jason? It's Jesus saying, this is the way you're supposed to live. Live like me, and I'm going to tell you how to do it. If he had a TED Talk today, that would be his TED Talk right there. Matthew chapter 7, he says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad. I almost titled this message, Highway to Hell. I was like, that sounds so negative. I might not do that. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide. In Sax, I was not going to have you sing the song either. Just going to let you know. It may be a musical morning, but it's not that musical. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. Now, wait a minute. I thought we're just going to welcome everybody into this big tent of Christianity. Everybody's just going to make it to heaven. All you got to do is say a little prayer. Jesus, come into my heart. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm good. Now I'm going to go live my life. No, he says that the gate to eternity is narrow. And very few people get to enter through that gate. But the gate to hell is broad. The gate is wide. The road is big. Why? Because there's more people on that road. There's few people that are willing to take the narrow road. How do you get through that gate? Jesus says, I am the gate. That's what Jesus told us. He says, I am the gate. No one comes to the Father but through me. Not through any other person, any other being, but through Jesus Christ alone. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And if you think you're going to get there a different way, you're mistaken. And I want to warn you, the highway to hell is an easy road. It's an easy road. But the highway to heaven is a difficult road. You see, many of you have struggled in times in your life, and this morning you may even still be beating yourself up because you slipped off and you got off the narrow road and you got off on the wrong road and you were headed the wrong direction. But let me tell you something. If you are on the highway to heaven today and it's difficult, stop worrying about what the other road used to be like. Stop worrying about it. I don't care, and God doesn't care what you have done in the past. It is covered under the blood of Jesus. You are cleansed. You are set free. You've been delivered. You've been raised to new life in Jesus Christ. Why are you thinking about the old way? Now, come on. If you ever dated somebody else, do you go back to your wife or your husband and talk about that old flame? Not if you want to live very long, I'm sure. Even if it was a bad relationship, you don't want to talk about it. You don't want to talk to your spouse about that old relationship. Why? Because it's junky. It's nasty. Who cares? So why in the world do we constantly live in this headspace in our brain about what we did in the past when Jesus says, I just want to have a relationship with you to the future? That's a true disciple of Christ, that we're focused so much on him, we can't even focus on the past. Hey, great, we'll tell people, we'll give a testimony. Hey, this is where God brought me from. But praise God, I am on the straight and narrow. I'm on the right road today. I've went through the narrow gate. I'm living for Jesus today, and nobody's going to change that. It doesn't matter what happened in the past. There's not even any mud on you. Have you ever went four-wheeling? Have you ever taken your truck, you know, when you have four-wheel drive? Growing up, I had a Nissan Datsun pickup truck, 86 model King Cab. Yeah, you could not fit me in the back of the King Cab, let me tell you that right now. So I don't know where they got the word king from. The Japanese, I don't know what they thought king meant. That's not no king. And I understand the Japanese are smaller than us, but I don't even know if their king could fit in the back of that thing. But we would go mudding, right? And we would take that thing on. I had bald tires, man. That thing would go through anything. It was crazy how much stuff you could get through. And you would come out of it, and you had mud all over it, and you had to go to the car wash. Wash the mud out of your brake pads. Wash it off the truck and everything else. Well, let me tell you something. There was mud in the past. You were wallowing with the pigs in the past like the prodigal son. But when the prodigal son came home, the Bible says that his dad put a new robe on him. He was no longer covered in mud. He was cleaned up. He was changed. He was different. Nobody, none of those servants went like, oh my goodness, he stinks. No, those servants are like, oh, the son, he's home. The father is excited. He's happy. And they rejoiced. Why are you living in the past? A true disciple of Jesus lives for the future and keeps their eyes set on the future. Okay, you messed up. Tell people, but move on. Stop worrying about it. So, if you want to be a true disciple of Christ, you've got to realize that it's a narrow gate, that few people are going to go through it. That means there's going to be few people that are hanging out with you. There are going to be few people that are going to want to go with you. Ask Christy. She can tell you stories. When she was in public school and she started a Bible club and the way she was treated. In the South, in Texas, come on now, the Bible Belt. She could tell you, this was 30 years ago, the way she was treated. Don't think that everybody's going to want to follow you. But that doesn't change what you do and the decision that you make. Then Matthew 7, verse 15 through 20. How do I know there's difference between a true disciple and an untrue disciple? He says, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. And call them disciples too. False disciples. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act, you can pick grapes from thorn bushes or can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces what? Good fruit. And a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down, thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. But it gets deeper than just the actions here. It's not just talking about the way somebody acts or talks. It's talking about something deeper. Because when we go back and we look in the Beatitudes, when we go back and look at everything, we see the actions play into fasting and prayer and spending time with God, true time with God, knowing how to pray to the Lord. Sit down with somebody in their house. Sit in their truck and go with them to Gurdon. You'll find out who they really are. 3 hours of driving, you'll find out who they are. Right, Dave? Sit down with people. Go with them. Be around them. And then when you see that something is off kilter, love them. But if you see that they're a false disciple, then why are you hanging out with them? Well, Jesus hung out with sinners and this and that. Jesus had a reason behind what he did. He wasn't doing it for fun. Do you not think that people will drag you down? Do you not think that people will drag you away? Do you think that when we say that we're battling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers in the darkness and high places? Do you not realize that the enemy, the evil one, is trying to find a way to pull you away from God? Trying to trip you up? When I would go mudding, there's these guys that I'd hang out with some. And finally, one night, it finally hit me. I got my truck broke down while we were out mudding, and we had to walk back into town. And so a couple of things happened that night, and I realized, why am I hanging out with these guys? Look at the influence that they're having on me. You see, I was a guy in church. I was the young man in church at 15, 16 years old. I was leading worship. I was praying 2 hours before church services start on Sunday evening. I was always in church. I was there. I love the Lord. I was reading my Bible. I'm studying. But when I was hanging out with these people that are people to be friends with, I saw some of that junk rubbing off on me. And that night I realized it, and I'd stopped hanging out with them. Now, I will say my mom warned me a little bit. She was so busy, she didn't have a whole lot of time to do much, but she did say, hey, watch out, watch out, watch out. And that night, praise God, it was like, come on now. Got it right now? Let's move on. You can witness to people. You can love people. Doesn't mean you need to be their best friend. But when we talk about those who are false disciples, those are people you definitely don't want to be around. Because they'll start telling you things and they'll start making it sound so sweet, so natural. This must be right. I mean, come on, they're such a loving person. They're my friend. They're this, that, and the other. Before you know it, you believe something that's not scriptural. Come on, Pastor, you're being judgmental. Oh, am I? Well, let's just see what Jesus had to say. Verse 21 through 23, he said, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We've cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Now, if you're a Christian, don't be scared of this verse. You don't have to be. If you love Jesus, don't be scared of this verse. That's not who he's talking about. He's talking about the people who cry out and say, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I love the Lord. Yeah, I go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm at men's breakfast. I go to women's. I go this, that, and the other. I'm part of the youth group. And he says, but where's your heart? Just because you say it, he says, many, and this is what concerns me about the American church, the Western church, many churches are full of people that are dying and going to hell, and the pastors aren't doing anything about it. If I said it once, I'll say it 1,000 times. I'd rather have 50 people in our church with 50 people going to heaven than 5,000 with 50 people going to heaven. Because when I get to heaven, the Lord's going to say, son, what were you doing? You had 5,000 people and you could only get 50 of them into heaven? Did I not give you an instruction manual on how to pastor? Did I not give you an instruction manual on how to be a Christian? Were you not following it? We think this is crazy, right? We put in something on Google today. We're going to go this address. And then we drive a different direction. People be like, well, you're an idiot. But what do we do as Christians? We got the instruction manual right here. And like Jonah, the Lord says to do one thing. And we're like, ha, we're going to go do something else. And we think we're going to make it to heaven and he's going to be happy with us. He said that, get away from me, you lawless people. You break God's laws. We got an instruction manual. Let's follow it. A true disciple follows the directions, listens to the Lord, and follows directions. How do I know this? We continue. Verse 24 through 27 says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents, and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on the bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching, doesn't obey it, is foolish like a person who builds his house on the sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. One of my favorite kid songs. Don't build your house on the sandy land. Don't build it too near the shore. Oh, it might look kind of nice, but you'll have to build it twice, so you'll have to build your house once more. You better build your house upon the rock, upon the foundation of the solid rock. Well, the storms may come and go, but the peace of God you will know. I told you it's a musical morning. Build your house upon the rock. I was watching a video the other day, and somebody drove off into a river with their four-wheel drive, big jacked up Jeep, driving down the river, and they got stuck. And so the off-road recovery expert had to drive down the river to pull them out. He says, why in the world do people drive down the river? But he was telling one of the guys that he was teaching us, he was doing the off-road recovery, he says, don't let your vehicle stay in one place. Keep it moving or get up on the sandbar. He says, because while you sit there, the water is going against your tires, and it starts to bury your vehicle because of the sand and the gravel underneath start coming out, and you will get stuck without even moving. It's the same thing. When we look at this, when we think about this, building a house on the sand, building on an unfirm foundation of sand, when the waters come, it erodes that away, and you're going to lose that house. It may look good. It may look pretty, like the song says. It may look great. But when you build your house in the sand, when the storms of life come, when the evil one comes against you, it will fail. But when you build your life upon the rock of Christ Jesus, he is a solid rock. He is a firm foundation, the Bible says. When we build our life upon him and upon his word and we listen to his teaching, like he said, it will stand against any storm. What's that storm? Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's a health situation. Maybe it's a child situation, a spouse situation. But if you'll build it upon Jesus, it will stand. He is a firm foundation. He is the cornerstone. He's the one who makes the rest of it go up correctly. If you don't, those who aren't in construction, the cornerstone is the part that you build the whole building on. And if that thing is off, then the whole building's off and it won't last. It won't stand. We want to build our lives on the cornerstone, on the rock, which is Christ Jesus. That is a true disciple. Some of you look around and go, man, this person, he's a Christian, he's doing so good. Do you know their backstory? Do you know what's behind what's going on in their lives? Do you really, have you been around them? Have you watched them? You ever seen those Christians who never show up to church, never hang out with other Christians, but they're a Christian? Look how good their lives are. I should stop going to church. I should stop hanging out with Christians. I'm going to tell you, if you go look in behind them, they're probably one of those people who cry out the name Lord, Lord, but don't listen to what he has to say. If we're going to be a disciple, we have to do the whole book, not just part of it. We can't just say, oh, yeah, I like this part of it right here. It says, give and it'll come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Will it be given to you? I'm going to give, and I'm going to see it come back to me. Oh, this is great. Oh, this feels great. This feels good. No, we got to follow the parts where it's not so easy. We may have to pull away from some of those relationships. The Bible says that we should not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And you may have a relationship with an unbeliever that's dragging you down. What is a yoke? So you have two animals, and you put this thing around their neck so that they can pull. Well, if you put a Shetland pony up against a draft horse, you're going to have issues. It'll probably kill the Shetland pony if you think about it, because this is going to drag it right along, and it'll probably just kill it. But can I say something? Maybe that relationship, maybe you're the Shetland pony or maybe you're the bigger one, but the bottom line is it doesn't work. There's a reason there's going to be problems. There's a reason there's going to be issues. But what do you want? You want two draft horses or you want two Shetland ponies? You want two of the same. You don't want two different ones. Well, I'm different than other people in my church. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people who are not like-minded. They will drag you down. They will pull you away from Christ. Not because they want to per se, but because the evil one will use them to do that. He will use that in your life. So let me ask you this morning, are you on the straight and narrow? Have you walked through the narrow gate? Or have you been, I like the highway to hell. It's a lot easier. Because we don't call it the highway to hell. We call it the highway to prosperity, the highway to health. Oh, the highway to everything feels good in my life. And that's great. Sometimes that narrow gate, that narrow path takes you somewhere that you don't want to be, like Arkansas, right, Brother Ronald? Sometimes he doesn't. But let me tell you something. The ending outcome is what matters. That's right. The ending outcome. There's a lot of good things about Arkansas. There's a picture. I don't have it. I've never been able to find it. I had it when I was younger. I used to have it hanging up on my wall back when kids put posters on their walls. I don't know if they do that anymore. And it had two roads, and it had this one road, and it was a narrow gate. And I've told some of y'all about this. It's a narrow gate, this winding road that went up. Very narrow road, very difficult, very treacherous. And then there's this road over here that's real wide, and everybody's going down it. At the end of this narrow road at the top, there's this beautiful castle kingdom. What the people don't see that are on the narrow road is the road drops off into a pit of fire. And people are just walking, and the picture, they're just walking right off the edge of that thing, right off into it. You see, that's where we're going to head if we take that path. So I pray that something this morning has triggered in your mind, whichever way you are, whether it's your disciple and you need to do a few things in that area, or whether your life isn't with the Lord and you have that opportunity. The Bible says that if you want Jesus, all you got to do is come to him. He's already taken care of it. It's paid in full. All you have to do is accept that. And the Bible says we have to turn our life over to him. We got to say, Lord, I'll give you all. That's all you got to do. It's not really about praying a special prayer that some preacher has. It's about your relationship with him, your decision with him. So this morning, if you need to pray that prayer, if you need to talk to the Lord about that, whatever it is, as I pray this morning, I want you to do that this morning, okay? Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I pray for anybody in this place that does not know you, those who may have known you and are on the wrong path right now. They're on the wrong road that leads to eternal destruction. Father, I pray that you'll touch their hearts. And this morning, they'll make a commitment to you, a commitment to your word, a commitment to being what you've called them to be. For those here this morning, Lord, that are already on that road, Lord, help us to follow the instruction manual, the directions, to be a true disciple.